This program is brought to you by Haymarket Books as part of the Socialism 2023 program. You can hear more recordings from the conference by subscribing to the Socialism Conference podcast feed. Many video recordings are also available at socialismconference.org. If you enjoy these recordings, you should join us for Socialism 2024, which will be held in Chicago next Labor Day weekend, August 30th through September 2nd. It's never too early to make a plan with your organization and your friends to come to the Socialism Conference.
Thank you, Zozan. Thank you, Ryan. And thank you, everyone, for coming to listen to our discussion. I'm going to try my best. I know that this kind of discussion is very wide. It takes books, takes days to talk about. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just point out the things that I think it's important to know, and mostly the experience that we had with the council's movement to, you know, it has to be point out, and people should talk about, especially socialism. That's why, where we're going to go. It might be start for us to go where we want to go. So I'm going to try to have some points here, but I'll be happy if I have maybe some people don't understand the accent, but I'm going to try my best. And it's understandable, but if anything wasn't clear, please point out to me. We have time. I think I'm going to just, maybe we're going to talk about 20, 30 minutes, and we will have time to discuss the rest of the time. So I'm going to start with the current cultural, political, economic, and civil rights in Kurdistan, just to give a little bit idea. During the regime of both the Shah and the Islamic Republic, like all Iranians, Kurd experienced capitalism and social oppression. In addition to this, Kurdish people experienced national oppression too. People in Kurdistan have been and are in very difficult life situation. They are without medical services, doctors, and have little access to government services. The people of Kurdistan have been deprived of many of their rights because of being Kurd. And the class division in Kurdistan, Rosh Halat, is, when I talk about Rosh Halat, I mean Kurdistan in Iran, is divided in terms of classes and political orientation. There are national movements concerned only with fighting national operation. They wanted to be under the banner of the central government and share political power with the ruling bourgeoisie government. In fact, a federal system of power sharing based on national division in Iran is currently being considered. However, the experience in Bashur proved to us that federalism cannot solve national operation, where the central government is a capitalist state and does not officially recognize the people's rights. A people council, which is the topic in our discussion today, however, can guarantee people's involvement in their destiny as well as solve the problem of national operation. We believe the People's Council system is the answer to poor and working people gaining democratic power and determining their life and destiny. So how the council system works, what we mean by council system? The council system is a structure beginning with and based on people's neighborhood community. And village council to city councils and national level councils. The Congress forms from all the representatives of the councils and it is the highest governing institution. All laws must be passed and implanted at the Congress level. In the case of Kurdistan, for example, the Congress would take power in Rojhelat. The government Congress appoints executives to take over the general administration of society, which is separated than the judiciary. Judges are elected by the people, and the People's Council can unseat them without having to wait for full 4 years term. Of course, there will be corrupted people in all systems, but it will be easier to remove them from their position through direct democracy in the council system. The open exchange of opinion and ideas from radio to social media and all issues is essential to the council system so that people are well informed. Unlike the parliamentary system where they cannot have any control over elected officials for up to 4 years. So I'm going to talk about one of the most demanding rights of Kurdish people here, which is self-determination and the rule of political parties. One of the main demands of the people of Kurdistan is the right to self-determination, which should be recognized for all people. We should examine this issue from the perspective of workers in Kurdistan because they have seen so much and they have been so suffered so much of being Kurd, the workers. The regime itself says that more than 25% of the youth in Kurdistan are unemployed or are displaced and have to migrate to other places and are forced to do difficult and dangerous works as kolber, which is essentially smuggling, which is not a job, but they have to survive, they do this. Illiteracy is very high in Kurdistan. And so for this reason, nationalist parties can spread nationalist poison among workers and laborers. They say that we must eliminate national operation. This is not the time for class struggle. We know both mentally and in reality the smoke of national operation goes to the eyes of the workers. One of the first tasks of the council system is to address the Kurdish national issues by legally recognizing their right to self-determination. The people of Kurdistan should stand together, united, to eliminate the current Iranian regime, hold a referendum once there is a democratic environment to decide whether to stay in future Iran, if the demands for self-determination and economic, social, and political rights are respected and protected, or the people of Kurdistan would vote to separate from Iran and take control of their destiny, which is not preferred, another border, but that's what it is. If the vision for a future Iranian regime will be the same as the current regime, of course, the people should choose to leave because there is no other way, choices. Even now, because in the Kurdistan, the struggle is very different from the other part. If they could divide themselves and separate themselves from the regime, which is currently running, still they have the right. Any government that does not fulfill the rights of the people who are shouting their demands and slogans on the street will be a temporary government and will disappear. People will only accept a government that respects their rights. So what is our responsibility today? What should we do? The most recent uprising in Iran, which was generated in Rojhelat, is in great need of alternative government models. One of the factors that has slowed down the uprising has been the lack of an alternative. Activists and revolutionaries are calling for the termination of the Islamic regime, but they have not been able to remove the theocratic regime, nor has the regime succeeded in silencing the people. Today, almost 1 year after Gina Amini's death, the youth-led uprising continues in her honor. And all sectors, all of Iranian society, from laborers to students and teachers, continue to mobilize in resistance to the theocratic dictatorship. So now the biggest discussion in Rojhelat is on the opportunity to rebuild or build and implant alternative government system, especially through the council movement, which has been used in a variety of forms across Kurdistan and the broader region and have about 2 to 3 years of direct experience in Rojhelat from 1979 to 1982, after the revolution. The council movement is supported by the people in the region and most left organizations. And it stands in opposition to parliamentary democracy. Who have the support of nationalist organizations. We are calling for the study, practice, and defense of council rules because it's the only model which accommodates the involvement of all people in governing from the bottom up, regardless of their religion, ethnic background, gender, or belief. Parliamentary democracy is a failure in democracy. It denies the people's rights of self-determination, as can be seen in places where parliament approves policy and legislation that is widely unpopular. Recently in France and Israel, we saw it. Yeah, in French, most people came. We saw that they wanted government. Not 80% of people were against raising the retirement age. Who listened to them? The government did it anyway because it's parliament gonna decide, not people. But if it was council, it would go to the Congress to decide on it. And the Congress is made of the people's representative, the council's representative. So they don't protect. For 4 years, you stuck with them. Where in council system, you can anytime bring them down because that's the role in council democracy. As I mentioned before, in Bashur, we have a parliamentary system. Kurdistan in Bashur has parliamentary system where people don't go to voting polls because they know the government doesn't protect their rights. We believe the People's Council are the answer to working class and poor people gaining democratic power and determining their life and destiny. I'm going to talk about some example that we had of the council movements and council actually ruling government. Across the world, council governance has shown that whenever the central government becomes so weak that it cannot take over the management of society, people fill this gap and create city councils. A few years ago, when the Syrian government, under the pressure of the civil war, was forced to withdraw part of its force from Kurdistan and use them outside of Kurdistan, a vacuum was created. And a people's association was formed, which took over in a governing roles, including all administrative institutions. During the 1979 revolution in Iran, as soon as Shah's regime weakened in Kurdistan and the new Islamic regime was unable to immediately fill the gap in governing in Kurdish area, neighborhood and city council were established in Kurdistan. And despite the violence and brutality of this era, the people of Kurdistan were able to manage the need of the community and the stability of the takeover for almost 3 years. I have this experience. I was there at the time. I was very young, but still, it was the council ran everything. There wasn't any government. Another example is Haftapa workers and the teachers in Iran. Haftapa workers are the Haftapa is a factory for sugarcane, and they have established their own council, but the government doesn't recognize it, and they have their own government against this council that worker has made another council, which is belong to the government. And still, it's for 20 years, they are fighting for that. Teachers have been, in Iran, in all Iran, they have been establishing their council, although the government never recognized them. But still, there is that. Over the last year, during Jinnah's revolution, we are seeing a resurgence of people's councils that are courageously organizing and mobilizing. So now we have another problem in the Kurdistan, which is nationalist parties and their demand for parliamentary system versus we are asking for council system. Until now, there is no specific alternative in Rosh Halat, but in the process of uprising, the people are examining their own alternatives. Nationalist parties do not hide their agenda that after the regime is destroyed for a period, the parties will take control in Kurdistan to prepare for parliamentary election. However, we have discussed the council system does not require preparation or orchestration. We have to acknowledge the political parties already have a social foothold within society and can continue their activities freely. The council system offers the most democratic way for political parties to be involved in governance. The difference is in the mechanism. The council system does not accommodate political parties' leadership at the head of the society. Although these parties have often fought a lifetime of political struggle with their own agenda and goals, but if they wanted to be involved in political governance, they should enter through the channel of participating in the council election, like all other people. If a party in Kurdistan has 10% of people's vote, it will follow that they will be present in local councils to the extent of the 10%. Party members, cadres, and leaders are also members of the community and have all the rights as everyone else to nominate themselves for council membership. In this way, parties have the opportunity to send their representatives to council through the existing council election. This means the councils are not based on party politics or specific individuals. I believe that because the majority of society is made up of workers, they have the best chance to elect them representatives that will fight for working class and poor people within the council system. Similarly, neighborhood and community councils are not only workers' councils. Workers can have their own workers' council, union, or syndicates, as well as present in their local council like any other resident, and can nominate themselves for any governing position. This means if their local council do not respond to their demands, they will continue to struggle through their workers' union. So there is people, parties in Kurdistan are armed, and that's another thing.
All of them are armed.
So as we know, armed political parties in Kurdistan have a history of their own and were forced to arm themselves after the revolution when the totalitarian Islamic regime came to power and invaded Kurdistan. At the time, the student and women's movement rose up against the new regime and were met with mass roundups and execution of revolutionaries all over Iran. And the Islamic regime declared war against Kurdistan and the Kurdish people. The people of Kurdistan armed themselves against the declaration of war of the Islamic Republic to defend the achievements of the revolution. Since then, the regime has been at war with Kurdistan. And as a result, the Kurdish parties have remained armed, especially in recent years. Once the Islamic Republic has been abolished, I hope soon, the People's Council, which are the heart of this revolution, will be formed. Through previous experience, we know that People's Council will establish its own security and defense, making armed political parties unnecessary. So if council makes their own security and defense, then why parties should be armed? And they should be disarmed. The general armed force should be placed under the highest governing institution, the Congress. The armed force undertakes the duty of guarding the achievements of the People's Council against the previous regime or foreign enemies who wants to attack Kurdistan. I'm going to end my presentation here, and I'll wait for the questions. But one thing that I want to mention here, in Kurdistan after the revolution, we had the council system. We had for 3 years, almost, not because government was pushing us, but every part we got, still there was the council system until 3 years. So when it comes with the international movement, the people at this time didn't have any international support. And the socialists and in the all over Europe and with U.S. or Canada, North America, all of them, they were pretending to, or they were protecting the government of the Iran because they were anti-imperialism, because they were fighting with U.S. It doesn't mean they are anti-imperialism. They wanted to build their own imperialism. They wanted to build the green belt of Shia as Muslim. And so it was two capitalist fight, but the lefties, they were saying the Iranian government is anti-imperialism, and it hurts the revolution, it hurts the lefties movement so much. So I just wanted to raise this concern, and thank you for listening.
I just briefly, before we get into the next session, I just wanted to bring it back to a couple of things. Now, my mom was talking a lot about, you know, 1979. And so, like, when we talk about the present, and we talk about council movement in itself, which, you know, there's many variations of what that looks like. Many communities across the world have practiced it. And it lends really well to, like, smaller communities, rural communities. So I'm just trying to think, and I think maybe this is something that we can all think about, is in what ways do we actually have council systems that are maybe informal, in some ways quite formal, that try to emulate and provide the kinds of things that we expect from the state. And whether it's just an association, like I was just telling my mom, like the Chi Nation Youth Council is a council, right? And if you have ever been a part of a convergence, like I was a part of the Anti-Olympics Convergence in Vancouver, or if you were part of any sort of mass, you know, G8, G20, any of that stuff, if you went to protest, often there are spokes councils, if any of you are familiar with that. And so those are also like a form of council movement. And so we do practice these things. They are intuitive, this parliamentary system or these sort of other governance systems that we are forced to contend with are not intuitive. And so just wanted to point that out and bring it back to, like, we do practice these things here too. This isn't just about somewhere over there. And I also wanted to, Mom talked about Rosh Halat a lot, so that's the eastern part of Iran. But actually the council system has also been incredibly important and prevalent both in Bakur and in Rojava. And so in Bakur, there is a very long history of armed struggle against the Turkish state. Particularly in one of the main Kurdish cities in the east. They have all, like, created these councils across society, and they've done it in ways where they target the needs of a community. The councils are formed, and it's like that's their project. So there's a lot of, like, because a lot of women don't have access to income, and so there's a lot of councils that are focused on bringing income into the community. There are councils for political prisoners. Like, there's, like, all sorts of things. There's youth councils all across Bakur, and then that influenced what happened in Rojava. So a lot of the people who sort of created these councils and were a part of building this movement in Turkey were able to share this experience and these experiments in Rojava and really held it down there for as long as they could. And one of the authors I wanted to offer for folks to read, if you're interested in the council movement specifically, but how the Kurdish movement has progressed into, because before it was a nationalist movement, now most Kurds, particularly the socialist Marxist Kurds that we're talking about, are not attached to the nation, because we've seen that it's possible. Like, we've seen that it's possible to exist without the nation state. Dilar Dilek. I'll write down her name. She's amazing.
And her book is in the...
Oh, yeah, the book's at the bookstore, the Haymarket Bookstore, so definitely go check it out. One last point before we go in. Okay, so we all know disaster capitalism. What if we turned disasters into moments of transformation? Because this is sort of the experience, right? Whenever there's a gap, whenever there's a vacuum, of course we know capitalist forces take advantage of this and we can fight back by also taking that opportunity and building something completely different. And so don't reclaim disaster capitalism, but just to say that we can combat it in a different way.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, subscribe to our podcast and to the Haymarket Books YouTube channel, where events like this one are hosted live. And don't forget to check out haymarketbooks.org.